Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development jobs building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So in this lesson, I want to show you how to create simple methods which allow us to split up our Visual Basic code into multiple code blocks. Now, a little bit of a caveat before we begin here. In this context, I'm using the term method, but I could easily use the term subprocedure or function. You'll see that I'm using those terms synonymously. When we actually start building our own classes a couple of lessons from now, when I use the term method, I'm going to be using them to refer to both subprocedures and functions inside of the context of a class. Whenever you're building a subprocedure or a function inside of a module, like we've been working with up to this point, then you usually just call them subprocedures or functions. I realize it can be a little bit confusing. I wouldn't make too much of it at this point. Just understand that we're talking about similar ideas. It's just the code block that you put them inside of, whether a module or a class, might give them a little different feature set, okay? But at any rate, simply put, a method or a subprocedure or a function is just a block of code that's given a name so that you can execute that block of code from some other block of code. It's one of the basic building blocks to creating larger applications. So we're going to look at other building blocks in, like classes in an upcoming lesson, but we're going to start simple with talking about methods, or rather subprocedures and functions. Okay. So why would you ever want to split up your code into multiple methods or subprocedures or functions? Well, there's actually many reasons why. First of all, it's a good idea to never write the same code twice. We talked about that earlier in a previous lesson. And if you ever find yourself cutting and pasting the same basic code template in a number of different places, that might be a wake-up call to say, wait a second, what am I doing here? I need to actually to take that code and put it into its own method. So cut and paste is usually the sworn enemy of a software developer. It's a necessary evil sometimes, but you should really stop yourself dead in your tracks whenever you realize that you need the same code in a second, in a third place, and so on. Oh, wait, I need that same code over here. I should copy and paste. Wait, whoa, I'm not going to copy and paste that. I'm actually going to create a method, and I'm going to put that code in that method, and then I'll call that method from everywhere I need it. So when you write a method and you call that method from each place where you need that functionality, you are you're delegating the responsibilities of that functionality into this one spot. If you ever need to change that functionality, you change it in one spot. If you ever have a bug with that functionality, you update it, you fix it in that one spot, and it'll be fixed everywhere. Okay, so that's the value of using a helper method. Okay, so we've already been working with methods. For example, we work with the submain in just about every lesson. We called it a subprocedure. It is a subprocedure. It's also known as a method. It's just a very special kind of method, that particular one, that's triggered when the application first starts up. We've also been calling or using methods that were written by Microsoft whenever we called the console.writeline method or the console.readline method, and so on. Okay, so to get started, what I want to do is create a new project, and I'm going to call this helper methods. And I'm going to write the following. First of all, I'm going to start below the end sub. So there's sub main, end sub. We're not going to write any code there to begin with. We're going to write code below that code block, but still inside of the module 1 end module. So here I'm on line number 7, and I'm about to create a new sub called display with the lowercase d, capital the, capital M in message. Open and close parentheses. Now I'm going to type in console.writeline from display the message. All right. That's a very, very simple helper method, a very simple subprocedure, but to execute it, what I'm going to do is call the display the message helper method, and then we'll call console.writeline, or I'm sorry, console.readline. All right. So what do you suppose this will do? Well, because Visual Basic reads so well in the English language, we're going to literally call that display the message helper method. When I do that, it'll execute all of the code inside of the code block that has the name display the message. And then once it's finished, I assume it will just continue on to the very next line of code, which is our console.readline, and we know what that does. So let's go ahead and run the application. And indeed, that's exactly what this does. Great. It's a very simple idea, or a very simple example that demonstrates a powerful idea. You can delegate certain responsibilities of your application into reusable sub-procedures like we've done here, reusable helper methods. So what do I mean by the term reusable? Well, here again, if I need that functionality that's encapsulated by the display the message sub-procedure, I can call it a second time, like so. In fact, I'm going to show you a different way to call the display the message sub-procedure. I'm just going to call it like that. Either of these ways work. You might still see some people use the old call keyword from Visual Basic 654 way back in the 1990s. But most of the time, when they're calling a sub-procedure, you'll just see it called like this with the name of the sub-procedure and then the method invocation operators, the parentheses, right? So now when we run the application, we would expect to see that message twice, and in fact we do. We were able to call into that code twice. Now again, very simple, even silly example, but it shows the power of being able to call any code that we've created inside of this code block multiple times by just calling it by name and then expecting it to actually perform its function. Great. Okay, sub-procedures are self-contained units, meaning that they can perform a task like console.writeline and then exit quietly. But what if we want the procedure to perform some operation, some calculation, and then return that result back from the procedure to the code that's calling into it here? So in that case, we wouldn't use a sub-procedure, we would actually use a function. So let's do this. I'm going to create, below the sub-display the message, I'm going to create a function called super secret formula, and it's going to return a string. So I'm going to call asString. And so in this case, we're going to use the return keyword to return a simple message. Like so. All right. And now back in our main, I'm going to comment out our previous calls to display the message. And here I'm going to create dim message a string, message equals, we'll call in super secret formula, and then I'll do a console.writeline with the message. All right, and I'll go ahead and run this application and we'll see the message hello world. Boy, that's a lot of work just to print hello world to screen, isn't it? Well, again, simple example, powerful concept. In fact, let me do this. I'm going to go ahead and comment all of this out because I use three lines of code to do what we could simply do in one line of code. So console.writeline, and I'm just going to call super secret formula, like so. So we don't need to create an additional variable to hold the return value from the super secret formula. Instead, we'll just call it, expect it to return the message as a string, and then we know that WriteLine can print out a string. We'll count on the .NET framework to perform these in the correct order in order to get this printed out correctly to screen. We run the application and we get the same result. Okay, great. Okay, kind of taking this in a different direction now. How does console.writeline accept an input parameter like a string or an integer or whatever the case might be? Well, all we need to do is define an input parameter. So let's add one to our super secret formula. So we're going to make it this helper method that we've created here, this function super secret formula, more flexible and useful by allowing it to accept an input parameter. So when we create our methods, we can choose to accept zero or one or more input parameters. And then in the body, or rather in the code block that's defined by the function end function, or the sub end sub, we can use that input parameter in the body to perform a calculation, to do some manipulation on that value, and then return it back. So in our case, we're just going to keep it simple. We're just going to accept a single input parameter that we'll use to append to the literal string hello. So here we go. I'm going to start with a function super secret formula. You might be asking yourself, how can you name this super secret formula too? Don't get ahead of me. We'll get to that in just a minute, okay? All right, and then I'm going to type in this mysterious word bival. And we're going to give our input variable a name called name, a string, and then we're going to return a string from our function. And so here we're just going to do a return string.format hello, and we're going to use that string replacement syntax that we saw earlier. Okay, and then I'm going to use the comma on the keyboard, and I'll pass in name as the replacement for the first item in our kind of merge codes, all right, in our string replacement code, all right? So we would expect to be passed in a name, let's say Bob, and then we'll merge hello, and then name will equal Bob, and we'll replace this replacement code with the word Bob and return that back out to super secret formula, and we'll pass in Bob, or actually let's do this, let's pass in world, okay? And we'll go ahead and run the application, and we get hello world again, all right? And we can basically copy this line of code and change it to hello sunshine, right? And we can now execute it multiple times, passing in different values as an input parameter, all right? So I hope you found it odd that there were two functions by the same name, super secret formula, one that accepted zero input parameters and one that accepted this input parameter of type string called name, all right? Well, this is called an overloaded method. You've overloaded it. You've given it multiple meanings or multiple ways of calling it. So you can create two or more methods, or rather two or more subprocedures or two or more functions like we have in this case, with the same name as long as each version has a different number of input parameters or accepts a different type. So we could create a third version of this super secret formula that accepted bival name as integer, okay, and then used an integer inside of the code block. So as long as we have a different number or different data types of input parameters, we can use the same name for our functions. So IntelliSense, when we go to use it, if we go back up here and just call super secret formula, you can see now that IntelliSense has one of two, super secret formula with no input parameters, and when I use the down arrow on my keyboard, super secret formula with name as string as an input parameter, okay? So I can just go back and forth, 1, 2, 1, 2, great. So whether you realize it or not, we've been using overloaded versions of the write line method. You see there's 18 different versions of write line. I think we talked about this early on. We can take different data types, a double, an integer, a long, an object, a single, a string, format as string with arg0 as object, or an array of parameters, or, you know, and it goes on and on, the different ways that we can call write line. And so by having one method name with several overloads, it makes it more convenient for the consumer of the method to call it, passing in what I have available or what I need at that moment. I mean, we've been able to throw just about anything at console.writeline and it's been able to handle it. So isn't that a lot easier than if we had to wade through 18 different versions of the writeline method? I mean, we might have to call console.writeEmptyLine, console.writeStringLine, console.writeIntegerLine, and so on and so on. And that can become very confusing and overwhelming. It's much easier to have it with the same name since they essentially do the same things, but what we give it, the input parameter is simply different. So that's the justification for overloaded helper methods. Okay, so the key takeaway in this lesson, however, is the use of methods. And we're going to be using subprocedures and functions, also known as methods, often in the coming videos for various purposes. I just wanted to make sure that you had some exposure and explanation to how to create your own subprocedures and functions. What's the difference between the two? Why are methods kind of called, used as a blanket term for both subprocedures and functions? Understand how is it that we're able to pass input parameters or retrieve values back from methods? How is it that we have some methods that are overloaded and have so many different versions? Okay, hopefully we've answered all those questions in this short lesson. So hang in there, you're doing great. This is meaty stuff, at least as you're getting started in Visual Basic, but you're doing great, and we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.